I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Congressman Jim Ramstead on what his night on a cold jail floor taught him about why mental health needs should have the same health coverage as physical illnesses. That's in just a few minutes. It's part two of our Behind Closed Doors conversation. But first, we're going to continue a conversation we started a couple of weeks ago about new federal sentencing guidelines that are allowing some drug offenders to go home early. Last fall, the U.S. Sentencing Commission reduced the possible sentences for first-time nonviolent offenders who've been convicted of selling crack cocaine. They also decided to make the change retroactive. The move has been pushed for years by advocates because the sentences for selling crack far outweighed those for selling equal amounts of powder cocaine, and because that imbalance meant that black and, to a lesser extent, Latino offenders were being sentenced to much longer jail terms than whites for selling equal amounts of drugs. 2 weeks ago, we spoke to Natasha Marshall, who had just been released 3 years early because of the new guidelines.
I was ecstatic. I was just overjoyed. I was like, oh, my God, now this nightmare is finally going to come to an end sooner than what they said. My heart kind of skipped a beat, and I was like, wow, this is it. It's really happening.
But not everyone is pleased with the sentence reductions, among them Wade Eichhardt. He is a minister and the coordinator for the Weed and Seed. It's a Department of Justice-sponsored community program aimed at fighting drug use. He is in South Statesville, North Carolina, and he joins us now. Reverend Eichhardt, thank you so much for talking to us.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Now, you testified before the Sentencing Commission when they were considering this step, and you offered some very vivid testimony about the way you feel your community has been destroyed by crack cocaine. If you would just tell us a little bit about what you told the commission about the effect that crack had had on the community. You talked about the fact that 20 years ago, the place where you live was a very different place. What were some of the changes you saw as a result of crack?
As a result of crack in our community, we have seen major changes in South Statesville. I mean, South Statesville was a very vibrant community, and now we can consider it now, some people would say, a ghetto. The community has lost a lot of its businesses, have gone. The crime rate has just skyrocketed. The gangs are so territorial now that we have constantly murders and robberies, the high school, the dropouts in school now, it has just increased tremendously because, once again, crack being the poor man's drug, as they say it is, it's a quick way to make money. So now, why work? We can sell crack and be just as wealthy and well off as any other people. It has really just deteriorated the community greatly.
But what about those who argue that, look, under the previous sentencing guidelines, an offender would need 100 times the amount of powder cocaine to get the same sentence that an offender would get for any amount of crack cocaine? Do you see what I'm saying? If you had, you know, 5 ounces of crack, you'd need 100 times that of powder. And it was mainly, as you pointed out, it was black folks getting locked up. And people said, that's just not fair. What do you say to people who argue that just it was just not fair to punish people so much more harshly for selling essentially the same drug, particularly given that most of the people receiving those harsh punishments were black and Latino?
Well, I don't look at it as a black issue, a white issue, or a Latino issue. This drug is killing all. And the sad thing about it, in the community in which I live, it's like a black-on-black crime. When you have a nephew that is selling to his uncle or his aunt or his cousin, to me, they are somewhat committing a murder because these people, once addicted to crack, if they're not rehabilitated, eventually it leads to death.
I was going to ask you about that because the experts say that it's really only about 3,800 people affected by this retroactive change, and that these people were going to come out anyway, number one. And number two, these were people who were considered to be nonviolent. Does none of that sway you?
No, actually, you know, it really doesn't, because I'm looking at the fact when you begin to release these people early, it sort of gives other criminals, okay, well, now I see the sentences is not as harsh as it was. So now if I get caught, my uncle got out early, so it's not as bad now as it was. So I'm going to continue to sell crack. Why get an education now? And if I do time, it's not going to be as long as it has for some.
Do other people in the community feel the way you do? Are they worried about these folks coming home earlier than anticipated?
Some, yes, because what we're trying to do in our community, we're trying to revitalize our community, and we feel strongly that one or two offenders coming back into to the community early, especially those that are not prepared to come back. We feel like, okay, if they come back 2 or 3 years early, and if they do not become gainfully employed and do not become a productive citizen, what are the chances of them reverting back to selling drugs or becoming a drug user? That's just going to be another person on the streets causing more problems of what we're trying to clean up in our neighborhoods.
Wade Eichhardt is a minister and the coordinator for the Weed and Seed Program in South Statesville, North Carolina. He joined us from his home in North Carolina. Reverend Eichhardt, I appreciate your talking to us, and will you keep us posted?
I definitely will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.